KBTC, a viewer-supported community service of Bates Technical College.
From KBTC Public Television Studios in Tacoma, Washington, it's the Northwest Now podcast. Each week, we take a closer look at the people and issues that affect all of us here in Western Washington. So sit back, relax, and join the conversation with your host, Tom Lason.
President Trump announced a boatload of tariffs on Liberation Day last April. It tanked the stock market and threatened to shut down supply chains. But then came a long series of on-again, off-again adjustments that have made planning for both large businesses and small just about impossible. Now, Washington State Treasurer Mike Pelliciotti worries that tariffs could cost the state more than $2 billion in general fund revenues by the end of the Trump administration's term. We'll hear from him and the president of the Washington Roundtable, Rachel Smith, tonight. Our Steve Kigan shows us how it's not just the multinational megacorporations feeling the heat from tariffs. Tariffs are the topic next on Northwest Now. Political leaders here in Washington State hate just about everything Donald Trump does, so bear that in mind. But even traditional center-right constituencies, like business leaders, are worried about tariffs and the outsized impact they could have on Washington State. One estimate says tariff cost for the state's businesses could go from about $2 billion to $20 billion. Globally, Standard & Poor's says tariffs have cost global businesses about $1.2 trillion, with about two-thirds of what essentially is a tax on supply chains hitting consumers directly. As one example, grocery prices are up 16% as importers lose the ability to eat the costs, and major economic drivers like agriculture and aviation risk losing export market access in countries that have only recently opened their doors after years of intransigence. In addition to the direct impact of tariffs, the number of knock-on effects are almost limitless, including putting about 32,000 trade-dependent jobs at risk. As Steve Kigan shows us now, it's not just the state's largest corporations feeling the impact of tariffs.
Political tensions like shifting tariffs or the threat to annex Canada has squeezed the number of people willing to cross the Washington State and British Columbia border. Statistics Canada reveals the number of Canadians choosing to travel southbound has been on a steady decline for the past 8 months. In fact, down 34% between August 2025 and the August of last year. And that's bad news if your business is used to serving our neighbors to the north.
We are really gonna be in a world of hurt between now and the end of the year.
They're putting the finishing touches on Rainier Valley Food Bank's new home. The team moved in just weeks ago. Through 2024, everyone kept pace to meet a 40% growth in the weekly home delivery program. Executive Director Gloria Hatcher-Mays calculates tariffs will lead to significant increase in costs next year.
We've spent about $700,000 on purchased foods, and we're expecting when the tariffs are fully implemented that's going to go up to over $1 million next year.
This is going to impact people all across our state.
In September, Governor Bob Ferguson highlighted details from a Washington State Office of Financial Management report analyzing the Trump administration's 2025 tariffs. The report predicts tariffs will raise costs for vehicles, groceries, and clothing, cost thousands of jobs across multiple sectors, and stunt GDP growth, leading to weakening state revenues.
When we receive coffee now, we are constantly just worried about what that final price will be.
Ephraim Fazaha owns Boon Boona Coffee, which sources beans globally. He says tariffs have chilled dreams of expansion.
When it comes to, you know, do we expand further beyond where we're at, it is definitely something that we hesitate about.
We're a very connected region, despite the border.
A recently published brief by the Border Policy Research Institute at Western Washington University revealed tariffs and threats to annex Canada has fueled a damaging boycott. Four lease notices hanging in empty storefronts in Blaine are a sign that border communities still struggling to recover from the COVID-19 pandemic are uniquely vulnerable.
It's an opportunity to really think about what it means to shop local, to support local business.
The tariffs, they're out of control.
Echo May, owner at Northwest Yarns and Mercantile in Bellingham, says tariffs forced price increases on imported fibers, leading to customers scaling back projects and Canadian customers avoiding travel altogether.
Most of them have simply chosen not to come south. And I think that's an understandable situation.
In the North Sound, Steve Kiggins, Northwest Now.
Joining us now are Washington State Treasurer Mike Pelliciotti and Washington Roundtable President Rachel Smith. Mike and Rachel, thanks so much for coming to Northwest Now, have a conversation about tariffs. We hear a lot about them. We know they're incredibly important, and people are feeling the effects of those tariffs, but I think this is a great chance to explain a little bit about what they are and how they possibly impact not only business and families and the state government as well. Mike, let's start with you. Take me to Tariff 101 school. What is a tariff, and who ends up paying this thing?
Well, look, I mean, a tariff is a tax. It's more specifically usually an import tax that is paid by the importer. And then is passed along to the consumers as a form of that tax.
You filed an amicus brief in court and asked Congress to step in, and you've been working on sounding the alarm about this a little bit as revenues potentially decline from both importers who are paying the freight and exporters possibly losing share overseas. What do people need to know about that? What kind of a warning are you sending, and what would you like lawmakers to do?
Boy, well, I'd like Congress to do its job. Congress is actually responsible for determining whether there should be a tariff. And not all tariffs are bad. Sometimes you can use them for national security reasons and other things. But the way that we've seen these tariffs implemented over the last several months have been kind of reckless and illegal, which is why I've joined with the governor to bring forward the legal argument to challenge the way those tariffs have been imposed. And ultimately, we can get tariffs back on the way that they've been in the past, which is actually targeted, not reckless, not waking up any given day to a new tariff and a different amount in a way that businesses just can't, no matter who you are, you can be the best entrepreneur in the world, you can't respond to that type of chaos. And the more problematic aspect is it's squeezing businesses from both sides. It's squeezing them on the production side, where they're paying more for the goods, and then they're turning around, they can't even sell the goods that they have, because a lot of that used to be sold overseas, especially in an export-heavy state like the state of Washington. And then I'll just finish up by saying, the biggest concern is who pays the bills, and the reality is it's consumers, and they're getting squeezed enough. We need to be doing all we can to make it easier and lower the cost of living for folks, not increase it, which is what tariffs are doing.
Rachel, you're kind of in an interesting position here, being a spokesperson for the Business Roundtable, but again, also having this being a very consumer-facing issue. Normally, you're kind of over here, but now you're having to take kind of a broader look at this, I think, to some degree, too, and the impact on folks. What is your organization doing? I would say one of them is being here and doing some public education.
Right.
That's one of the roles. But what else are you able to do with the Roundtable and to get the message out, and what exactly is the Roundtable's message holistically when it comes to tariffs?
Yeah, well, I would just start by agreeing completely that tariffs are taxes, and that they're an old idea that is hurting Washington state employers, raising costs for consumers and their families, and just to emphasize what was already said, inject so much uncertainty, and that is the real killer for many businesses, is that uncertainty. The Washington Roundtable, we are working with our businesses, understanding the impacts that they're feeling so that we can share those with lawmakers and with policymakers. We are trying to provide tools and resources that we can. And I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you to our state lawmakers who are doing the work that they're doing. We need to ensure that we are pushing back on anything that is illegal or anything that would seek to undermine our competitiveness here in Washington state.
Great segue to something I wanted to expand a little bit, Mike. Why illegal? What is the legal argument?
Well, the legal argument is that our Constitution is clear that Congress determines tariffs. It actually was kind of foundational to our country, the Boston Tea Party. That involved tariffs on tea. And so when our Constitution was written, our founders said Congress determines whether there are tariffs. What we have is the president, on his own initiative, any given day, depending on what his desires are that day, implementing tariffs in a reckless fashion. And that's the unlawful action that's taking place. And, I don't mean to get into the weeds, but essentially what our legal argument is talking about is there are certain very emergency situations where the president can impose certain tariffs. And that's when there's an emergency.
If there's dumping
or something truly, yes, like that, or truly in a crisis situation where there is a need for national security. I think what we're seeing is we're not seeing an issue of national security. We're seeing an issue that on any given day, based on his desires or his relationship with a world leader, he is changing the tariff scheme. Our entire constitutional framework doesn't allow for one person to have that type of control, because guess what? It hurts consumers. Everyday Americans are now looking at paying 5 or 10 or 15% more for household goods, for food, for groceries. It's so erratic and chaotic. That's the problem, and that's what our Constitution is meant to protect, and that's the legal argument that the governor and I are putting forward to the U.S.
Either Supreme Court. Either of you had, and I'll ask you first, Rachel, had much contact with families. I know you're obviously very involved in the business community. You speak with, and I do too. I happen just through a quirk have a lot of conversations with small business owners in Western Washington. So I think, you know, that's a conversation we have fairly frequently, but actually street level conversations with families. Any reporting or any research there that's giving you any insight into what typical people are experiencing?
Yeah, well, the people that are owning, operating, running our small and large businesses are families. They are families right here in Washington State. So, yes, we certainly hear from them, not just about the impact that it's having on their business, but the impact it's having on their kitchen table and the sort of kitchen table issues. And, there is no question that costs are going up and that inflationary pressures are growing. So, yes, we hear that in addition to the business concerns all the time.
So, obviously, I don't want to sound cynical. The state wants a nick on everything, Mike, as you well know. So not only is this a business and a family issue, it's also a state revenues issue. Yeah. And talk a little bit about the threat there. And, we have a large new tax package that's been implemented. But this is another tax, as you stated previously when you took us to Tariffs 101. Talk a little bit about that. And and the impact of to the state government and from a planning perspective, for even for lawmakers going into the next budget cycle, we're going to have a supplemental. But even after that, trying to figure out what it is they've got to work with.
Well, look, I think consumers are getting squeezed in all directions right now. And I think it's important to recognize that impact. But it's also important to recognize the scale of what's taking place, because you were mentioning some of the revenue that the legislature decided to pass last legislative session. Well, in a situation like that, that could be, a couple additional pennies on $10, a $10 service fee, for example. Look, I will be the first as treasurer to say pennies add up when you look at that. But when you're talking about tariffs, the numbers we're looking at are more like 10 or 15%, meaning that's a dollar.
I heard 10x.
No, and potentially more. I'm being conservative as we look at the numbers specifically in Washington State, very conservative. Well, that's an extra $1.50 for a consumer on a $10 purchase. Mm-hmm. The scale is so significant, and that's what's leading to the chaotic approach. You mentioned small businesses. Look, I talked to folks who own coffee shops who are looking at numbers just dramatically increasing in terms of their import costs on coffee, things that we don't grow here in the continental United States, right? I mean, things like bananas. I mean, like, there are just foundational things we import that will increase the cost for consumers. And like I said, folks are getting squeezed right now, and government needs to be doing all it can to be reducing the cost on consumers.
Yeah.
And this is so erratic and so chaotic, we're just starting to see the impact. So to answer your question directly, that also then lowers the revenue for the state, where they're talking, recent report by the governor's Office of Financial Management was saying a couple $1 billion just over the next couple years in decreased revenue. We're seeing this already with a couple $100 lower in revenue projections for the budget. What I will also say is, unlike tax revenue that the state is imposing, where the money then stays here in the state of Washington to serve state needs, this is money that is being extracted from Washington. Tariffs are money being extracted from Washingtonians and sent to D.C., and we don't see that same impact here in the United States. So it's money actually getting sucked out of our state going to D.C. opposed to at least, the tax revenue mm-hmm. that the legislature determined to pass that will be staying here in our state.
Rachel, we've talked a lot about importers and the costs of getting your goods here in an import-dependent state, either to be sold here or to be sold elsewhere around the country. And I've talked recently with a small business owner who that's a big piece of what they do is importing, but they also export. Mm-hmm. And luckily, they've been able to find other markets that aren't quite as tariff impinged as Asia is, and they've been having some success in Europe and other places to help offset that. Not everybody has that, though. If you're a small business here and you're selling your product here locally, you're getting hit with the import tariffs. But I also want to talk a little bit about the threat to our export markets. I spent a lot of time as a Cub reporter in Yakima, where they were trying to open up cherry markets and open up apple markets, and Boeing, $17 billion worth of product and about 19,000 jobs at stake on the export side. Talk a little bit about that, and do we tend to kind of forget about the export side and retaliatory actions when we're talking about how the cost of groceries is going up on the import side.
Absolutely. I do want to just comment briefly on the previous question around, I think businesses are kind of getting a double hit right now as well. So they're dealing with tariffs, but also, these were the largest tax increase in Washington state history this last session. And so they're feeling it on both sides. So the kind of big economic moves happening in a number of ways.
And wage inflation.
Are really impacting businesses. So just wanted to kind of emphasize that. And then certainly we're the most trade-dependent state in the nation. So everything that you're describing in terms of both imports and exports is real. And the other thing I would say is that, it is if we lose some of those markets, it's going to take a very long time for us to build that back. I say often, it's really easy to kind of tear those things down. It takes a lot longer and it is a lot harder to build them back up. And just in the New York Times today, I mean, this is just sort of the irony, read in a piece about soybeans and saying, we have China's no longer buying soybeans here from the United States. So we're actually going to use taxpayer dollars to subsidize the soybean growers.
Yep.
And that also doesn't make a lot of sense when instead we could be actually net bringing dollars into our country. I think there's sort of risk across the board.
Yeah. And China, just to use an example, that mouse will hunt another, find a cheese down another pathway. So if we all said all oxen free and the tariffs were off tomorrow, it doesn't necessarily mean, all our customers roll back in the door and everything's fine again, right? They found another way.
And again, that's part of the uncertainty of it all that is a real challenge for business.
Well, and I think you hit on it. It's one of the things Rachel's really highlighting is we are an export and import heavy state. We're truly a trade dependent state. The good news is we have a diversified economy.
Right.
We have one of the most diversified economies in the state. U.S. News and World Report now for the second year in a row has rated Washington State number one in the nation for long-term fiscal stability. Our credit ratings are stronger than the federal government's. All of that is good, but exactly to your point, we need all of that to weather the storm that is coming, because if production costs are 90% of our fertilizer comes from Canada. You're mentioning agricultural impact.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's affecting the cost of production. At the same time, if you're an apple farmer and you were sending your apples to India, well, now you have a problem on the export side. At the same time, your margins are tight. The agriculture, Boeing, you talk about that impact. Shellfish farmers on the peninsula. I'm talking about, those doing coffee. Literally every aspect of our economy is getting squeezed, and folks who are going to be left paying the bill are the consumers, and they're the ones who can afford it the least.
Any way to take the sharp edges off of that from a state perspective? A cynic might say, yeah, let's take the tax increases and put let's curb them temporarily to help business continue on in this era of tariffs. Obviously, that's not going to happen. As much as Rachel, she won't tell me that, but as much as she might like it.
Oh, I will.
Okay, fair enough. But is there anything that can be done from the state perspective to take the sharp edges off this, or are we just got to sit here and be victims, basically?
Well, again, that's why you have a treasurer who is fighting to take this tariff issue on because of the impact. But I really want to focus again on the scale. The scale that we're talking about of the cost through these tariff taxes is so dramatic, not just to consumers, but to businesses, that there's no way really to make that up. And I think that is where it's particularly hard. And you might have particular sectors of the economy where the president might say, I'm going to try to use tax dollars, but in reality they're just taking out more debt federally to pay that. And that's not sustainable. None of that's sustainable. The best way to fix this is for Congress to do its job, retake its control over tariffs, which is what the Constitution says they have to do, and have the president make sure he actually follows the will of Congress. And if you brought this vote to Congress, I know how Congress would vote. They would get rid of these reckless tariffs overnight.
Yeah.
Because of the harm that's going to do. And I think the president ultimately will do, too, once the public has an outcry in terms of the economic harm that we're going to see over the next several months from this.
I think the other thing is, we share the same goal, absolutely. And I think the other thing that we can do here in Washington State is to really think about our own economic development future, our own economy here in Washington State, and really plan together, business and government, to say what can we do to strengthen that, to make it stronger, even in the face of some of the things that are harder to control.
If I don't let you take away the new revenues and I don't wave a magic wand to fix the tariff problem, are there any other policy solutions or things that can be implemented out there? When you guys sit with your members and talk this out, hash it out, is there anything other otherwise that can be done?
Again, I think there's very little that Washington State is not already doing that they could be doing to address tariffs at the national level. But I do think that there is opportunity for us to think about, again, strengthening our economy here at home, thinking about where we want to invest here locally and do no harm, right? We don't want to make anything worse, so we don't want to bring additional pressures to business if we can help it. And I think, we can't make things more affordable by making them more expensive for consumers. So I think we need to put that lens on all of our policy decisions in the next coming couple of years.
Translation, taxes.
That's one of them for sure.
Okay. Take me in the room a little bit. I'm going to ask this to both of you. Mike, you don't have to name names or companies or anything. Are you having any meetings with companies who are walking into to cabinet meetings and saying, listen, here's where we are now. Here's where I see us in a month or 2 months or 6 months. I'm not liking it. Talk about those conversations.
I mean, look, I've been to each of our 39 counties. I talked to folks all around the state. And I mentioned that even though we have a diversified economy, especially compared to most other states, every aspect of our economy is going to have an impact from this. The agricultural sector I was talking about, throughout central and eastern Washington. I was in Pasco talking about just this impact that we're going to see on farmers.
We could lose growers. We could lose...
Oh, well, I mean, they're getting squeezed as it is. Look, They have employment challenges. You know, they have, in addition to the cost of production, like I was saying, the fertilizer. We're on the Canadian border. Stuff comes in from Canada to allow us to do these needs. Our energy significantly comes in from Canada. I mean, all of these things are going to increase the cost of production. Yes. Yes, aerospace. Yes, on the peninsula. Look, I was in Port Angeles, at the port of Port Angeles, talking to leaders there. They were talking about, just within the first couple months, a 30% decrease in tourism from Canada. Don't even get me started on Blaine and Linden and Bellingham and just how potentially catastrophic that is for the economy.
And a 30% hit, that's less than a year probably. In terms of sustainability.
And that was in the first couple months that I was there.
Yeah.
So, I don't think Canadians would be coming down here to... Look, I spent a year doing my graduate studies in Canada. I actually I have a lot of Canadian friends. The level of betrayal that they feel toward American foreign policy and these tariffs in particular is like nothing we've seen in a lifetime.
I'm chuckling because I played golf just on a pickup round. You know, you get assigned a twosome from Canada. And we had a very interesting conversation. And I was like, you know something? We like Canadians. Please remain calm up there.
If we weren't playing them at T-Mobile, I don't think they would have come down at all.
Yeah.
Right? But I also say this. I mean, the impact is significant. You know, speaking of T-Mobile, I mean, the estimated job loss from the president's tariffs is about 33,000 lost jobs just in the state of Washington we're expecting to receive just because of this tariff policy. That is more than the average attendance at a T-Mobile Seattle Mariners game. Just to give some context to the jobs that are going to be lost purely through this economic policy. It's a self-inflicted wound, and that's why I'm working with the governor to bring this lawsuit, bring this legal argument to challenge that.
Rachel, I'm painting the same picture for you. We're in Olympia at the round table with a meeting with your members and a Q&A, and I know these happen down there, and they're not for public dissemination, and I understand and respect that. So you don't have to provide names or anything. Can you give me a sense of what the discussion is in that room? Are there people saying, listen, this is going to end us, or are they saying we can hang on for a while? But what are you hearing? What are you getting?
The answer is yes. It is all of those things. You know, we were talking earlier about one of the challenges, you know, the uncertainty, right, is a huge one. We've talked a lot about that. We're also going into that time of year for many businesses that is already their hardest time of year, you know, the winter. And that's especially true for retail, restaurants, hospitality, et cetera. So, they are already saying, you know, am I going to be able to sort of make it given the natural challenges that we have, you know, the cyclical challenges. And then again, you sort of layer this on top of it, the taxes that just went into effect a couple of months ago. But again, it's the uncertainty that is the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
You know, businesses are resilient. They are innovative. They are creative. But the decisions
they have to have a plan. Though.
Yes. And the decisions that they are potentially faced with making, to your question, none of them are good. Changing their business model, laying people off, taking things off the menu, buying in bulk now on the credit card, not knowing what might happen in the future. seeing orders get canceled. I mean, none of that is helping them be successful in their business.
Our last 60 seconds, shameless promotion. If people want to get involved, small business, how do they go about doing it?
Yes, they should reach out to wahroundtable.com, and they can find us there, can find information about our organization. And let me just say to small businesses and large, we want to hear your stories. We want to talk to you. So please do reach out.
Mike, same question for you. I don't know if you're running a dashboard that's tracking tariffs or anything like that, but what can people do if they want to learn more about what's coming down the road for state government?
Well, I mean, look, you can always go to the Treasurer's Office website. We actually have a transparency portal, and I was talking about cost of living. We're doing all we can to make sure folks are aware of ways that they can get more money in their pockets, and that's some of the stuff we have on the Treasurer's Office website. And we're going to keep making sure, at least in the Treasurer's Office standpoint, we're doing all we can to decrease the cost and make it easier on the cost of living for folks.
Thanks to both of you. Great conversation about tariffs. I know it's a little bit of a dry topic, but so important. I appreciate you coming in.
You got it.
Thank you for having us.
Donald Trump is using tariffs to try to make the reshoring of American manufacturing more economically viable and thus reinvigorate a middle class that is slowly disappearing from the American landscape. The bottom line, there is going to be pain. But while you may not have experienced it, high school educated America did when we traded our ability to get more cheap stuff at the store from millions of jobs that we outsourced to foreign workers who were willing or told to work for slave wages in polluted countries with no safety net. But with that said, while well-executed tariffs could be part of this country's ultimate solution to bring back middle-class prosperity and possibly put some fiscal discipline back into the federal budget, they are only part of what must be a logical, consistent, purposeful, and decades-long larger national strategy. When I consider decades of congressional impotence and the increasing level of political division, frankly, I'm not too optimistic.